All right, Matthew chapter 4. You don't have to be crazy to come here, but it helps. Do me a favor, please take your meds. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. We'll read this passage responsively, and then I want to preach to you for just a little while, and I believe we have a baptism tonight as well. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25, let's read responsively. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, that corner, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, please, in the next 30, 35 minutes, would you instruct us? Lord, I pray this one-on-one with you often, but rarely in public. Would you take tonight's sermon and change eternity because of it? Would we understand the depth and the seriousness of it, please? May eternity be changed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is always our best example. A funny story, I've said it before. When I was a teenager and a young preacher, my youth director said, if you ever don't know what to preach, just do what Jesus would do and preach what Jesus preached. That was working really good till I got to my first funeral. Did you ever go through the New Testament? Every time Jesus went to a funeral, the guy got up and walked away. That's not funny. I called my youth director and said, that doesn't work. Ha, 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 now you got to study. I didn't think it was real funny at the moment. But Jesus, of course, is our example. He came to earth not only to pay our sin debt, but he lived the life and showed us the life that we should have lived without sin. He lived the way God intended us to live our life. Now, with that, Jesus was very good at being able to reach people. He was very good at influencing people. If you noticed in verse 25, it said that the great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Five regions of people were following him in such great multitudes, the Bible doesn't even count it as a number. Jesus knew how to reach all kinds of people. He knew how to reach the young people. He knew how to reach the old people. He knew how to reach the rich people. We don't have any. He knew how to reach the poor people. I got that one down. He knew how to reach famous people. He knew how to reach street people. He knew how to reach adults. He knew how to reach children. He touched every area of life in all aspects of life. And he was good at reaching people. Here in Matthew chapter 4, very interesting part of the story, Jesus is dealing with some businessmen. Peter and Andrew were fishermen. They were professional fishermen. They owned their own fishing business. They had their own boats. They had their own fishing equipment. We're not talking they had a tackle box and three lines. These were men that fished professionally. And the Bible says that as he came to them, he said, fellas, if you'll follow me, I'll teach you how to be a fisher of men. And the Bible says that they left their business and they followed him. They went down the dock a little farther, and James and John were there, the sons of Zebedee. Zebedee owned the business, and James and John worked for their daddy in the business. And he said, fellas, if you follow me, we're going to go fishing for people from now on. And they left their father, they left their nets, they left their business, and they followed Jesus. Now, here's something that you don't think about. Not one time in there did Jesus promise them a salary. He wasn't promising them a big job. They were going to live by faith. They were going to live day by day, meal to meal. That takes some kind of leadership for somebody to leave their business and go follow somebody with no salary. In other words, he knew how to reach people, and everybody knew it to the point where professional people were willing to leave their business to learn to do what Jesus was doing. Matthew was a tax collector, and others, they had different professions. In other words, he touched so many different economic levels. Now watch this. Did you know a person's soul has no economic value? You can't put a price on that man's soul.
You're right.
It's invaluable. Correct. Did you know the Holy Spirit's not intimidated by a wallet or a checkbook? Aren't you glad? Most of us, we don't even intimidate the spider that inhabits it. Yeah. You blow the dust bunnies out of it, you know. Now, people are people. There is no economic class attached to a person's soul or to their spirit. Now, I'm going to say something here that probably should convict some of us. Sometimes we fundamental, independent, hellfire, damnation, separated Baptists decide people of means with fancy cars and boats and bigger homes are too hard to reach with the gospel. We start attaching a value to somebody. We start saying, well, they live in too ritzy of a place, they wouldn't listen. You're playing God. Now, let me say this. All people need the gospel.
You're right.
Doesn't matter what color. Doesn't matter how rich. Doesn't matter how poor. Doesn't matter how smart. Doesn't matter how unintelligent they are. Doesn't matter who they are. Everybody needs the gospel. I am not suggesting that we target people of wealth. But I'm also not suggesting you avoid them either. I don't mean this to be unkind. I deal with a lot of people. Some are very wealthy. I've dealt with people that are worth billions of dollars. I've dealt with millionaires. I've dealt with very successful, high-level people. And I can go knock on the streets in downtown Martinsburg and talk to the street people who are living in a cardboard box right now, barfing in the gutter. And I can talk to both of them equally. You say why? Because the ground's level at the cross. The ground's level. I can look a billionaire eyeball to eyeball and tell him, if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in hell. Just like I can look at the street person and say the same thing. Say why? Because there's no economic, there's no social class attached to spirituality. Now, I am saying that hell is just as real for the rich as it is for the poor. Jesus died for all, no matter what economic level they are at. There are churches who use religion to target people of means. Let me say that again. There are churches who target people of means. They preach what we would call a prosperity gospel. Oh, the more you have, the more God's blessing you. So the more you have to give, the more you give, the more you'll get. So give it to me so you can get more. That's wicked as the devil. Just so you know, I say it this way. They're almost renting God. They're putting God on the block to be rented. They build fancy plush buildings, and the church is more of a country club than an actual church. Now, we're building a new building. There's nothing wrong with building a building. But I promise you one thing, it's not fancy. It's plain meat and taters, and no, there's no stained glass, Mom. There's not even any windows in the auditorium. Praise the Lord. Money does not impress nor intimidate the Holy Spirit. Do you know if you're worth nothing or if you're worth millions, the Holy Spirit's not intimidated by you because the Holy Spirit is God. The same God who saved a poor dying man with cancer yesterday can save a wealthy man today. Amen. Same one. When we quit relying on personalities and gimmicks and etc. and start letting God work through us, then we see the value of each and every person. Those bus kids that got on that bus today, Mrs. Lopez, are just as valuable to God as Dr. Russell Anderson. Now, they probably won't give $40 million away. They'll take it. can I tell you something? But they're just as valuable to God. I cannot reach any person. It's not my job to reach them. It is my job to get them the gospel and let God reach them through the truth. It is my job to let the Holy Spirit work through me and let him use me as his mouthpiece to help people, but I can't reach him. Only God can. I didn't save that man dying of cancer yesterday. God did. I got to share the truth with him. I told Brother Barnes, he and I were talking. He said, "Preacher, it's almost too easy sometimes." I said, "Yeah, but so many people won't give anybody the truth. That's what makes it so hard. People are just waiting to hear the truth. Too many people want to fish or go soul winning with a line and a lure instead of with a net." Notice Jesus didn't talk to the guys that were casually fishing for the big mouth bass. He was talking to the guys that threw the nets in and didn't care what they caught. They were bringing it all on the boat. When you fish for Jesus, you don't use a pole and a line. You're not angling for one type of personality, one type of economic people. You're not trophy fishing. He said, just catch them all. Just catch them all. Reach everybody you can. Can I tell you something? None of the disciples were wealthy. They were common people. They were businessmen. We would say middle class to upper middle class. But they weren't wealthy. Guess what? They turned the world upside down. let me ask you this. Do you want a wall decoration or do you want a freezer full? When it comes to meat, do you want just the trophy on the wall or do you want a freezer full? Now, I like hunting and I like big rack bucks, but you can't eat them horns.
That's right.
They're nice and they're pretty, but can I tell you something? I'm not going to eat it. Are you? You can't even put it in water and boil it and eat it. It's not good to eat. Trust me. It's all it is bone. Now, can I tell you something? I like eating the meat, though. I've shot enough scraggly horned deer and unhorned deer, and you name it. I'll take the worst of the worst out there, and if it's got enough body on it to butcher, let's put her down, buddy. Say why? That's meat in the freezer. I'm not worried about the trophy on the wall. Purpose of it is to put meat in the freezer. Yes, sir. Now, in the process, if you got a trophy out there, I'm not passing it up. But the goal is not the trophy. The goal is the meat in the freezer. Everybody understand that? Same is true when you go soul winning. You're not looking for that one. How about we just get the truth out, get every one we can? That's what God wants. In other words, let's catch everybody we can. Now, let me show you. I have about, I think, four things, and I'm done. Let me give you four statements, and we'll get done. Number one, how did Jesus reach people? Number one, he went to where people are, but he did not act like them to reach them. He went to where they were, but he did not go down to meet them where they are. It's interesting, he went to where the fishermen were, but he didn't walk around trying to act like a fisherman. He did say, if you follow me, I'll teach you how to be a fisher of men. If you want to reach men, or do you just want to reach a bunch of fish? Now, both of them stink, so. but he said, I'll go to where they are. You always find a group of people around Jesus. He went to where people were, but he did not become what those people are. In today's society, we have misused the statement, become all things to all men. That doesn't mean you go to the bar to reach the drunks and act like a drunk.
Right.
Sit down at the bar and drink with them and then give them Jesus. Doesn't mean that you go to the rock concert and put Jesus's words to it and reach the young people. No, you reach them the right way, but you can reach them. You see, he went down to the docks in the boats where the fishermen were, but it did not imply that he dressed like a fisherman. He went to them, but did not act like them. Can I tell you why? We need to be different from them for them to want to have what we have. If you're just like they are, what do they need? There's a reason I believe that we ought to be different from the world. We're getting ready to move into our new building. And by the way, I will never let the way somebody dresses affect them coming to church. But as we get into our new building, it's time for some of us to step up and dress the part. Everybody doing okay? I think if you're going to take the offering, you ought to wear a shirt and tie. Think if you're going to be a greeter or an usher, we ought to dress appropriately. Think if you're going to work in the nursery, ladies, we ought to dress like we're supposed to dress. If we're going to work on a bus route or work in Sunday school, we're going to dress right because we represent God, and that's the uniform, and we ought to step up and do what God says. We ought not go down to where the world is and say, well, let's just all be like them. No, they don't want to. Why would they want something? Please don't get this the wrong way. That's why the average public school can't put a product out, because the teachers are acting too much like the kids.
Amen.
We need to be different from them to want that they want what we have to offer. Everywhere I go, people say, Pastor, you're different. Now, where we go from that statement from then on is a whole different world. I've been working with Fred and Wally, and of course they don't have children and they don't have any living family literally anywhere even near them, and I helped them. I went to a couple doctor's appointments with them, and their doctor, she was very leery of me at first. Who is this man? I knew what she was thinking. This guy's trying to horn in on these people and take over for them. I have no desire to do that. I have every desire in the world to help them get what they need and help them through these harder years. One day she finally figured that out. And their doctor and I, they don't know this, but she called me one day and said, Pastor, are you aware of this? I said, yeah, are you aware of this? No. I'm not going by which one it was, all right? That's doctor confidentiality, amen? I can claim that one now. Can I tell you something? I earned her respect. One of the days I was in the doctor's office, I thanked her for her care for Fred and Wally, and she looked at me and she almost hugged me. And she's not that kind of person, believe me. She has a reputation around the hospital. Don't get close to her, because she'll rip your head off in a heartbeat. But she said, no, I need to thank you. And she went. And it was totally appropriate. It was out in the middle of the waiting room. Her husband's there because he works with her. He's a doctor as well. But she respected that. She knew I truly cared. She's not met a preacher who truly cares anymore. What a sad thing. You used to go to a hospital and there would be about 8 or 10 or 12 parking slots that said clergy, 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 clergy. Now if you can find one, you're doing good. That's not the hospital's fault. That's the preacher's fault. They don't go visit in the hospital anymore. Let's see. Jeannie was in the hospital Monday, and then Beth was in while I was in with Jeannie, and then Greg was walking across the parking lot after I got out. But as I walked into the emergency room, The lady behind the desk looked up and she said, "Pastor, who are you here to see?" I said, "Jeannie Woolard." She said, "Which room?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "She's in room such and such." She said, "Okay, you know where it's at. I'll hit the button." I didn't even know Kathy was there. I just, back I went. They knew who I was. Now, every once in a while, I've been in there, and I walked in the last time I had a kidney stone. I drove myself there. Not the last time. The last time I went to the hospital with one. And it was about 6 o'clock Sunday morning. And she said, "You're not here to see somebody. You look like you're in pain." I said, "I have a kidney stone." She said, "Just go ahead and go into triage. We'll have somebody there, Pastor." I was in my suit. Not a good thing. You know, the guy comes in and he says, "Most people don't get dressed up to come here." I said, "If I wasn't hurting so bad right now, I'd laugh." But, oh, can I tell you something? People want what we have because we're different than they are. We're not supposed to become like them. We're to go where they are and reach them. But we don't have to act like them. Let's not dress down. Let's not use their music. I rebel against this tech society to where we have to have computer-generated images and movie screens and, you know, 20-foot-high screens of the preacher so that everybody will pay attention in church. I rebel against that. I think that we ought to have old-fashioned preaching, and if I don't have the goods and the power of God on me, then I shouldn't deserve people to listen. I don't need to generate it with a computer image. Everybody doing okay? In other words, let's not manufacture faith. Let's not generate our own faith. Let's do it God's way. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I'm not for this casual mentality. There used to be a church in our area. They called it the living room. I called it the outhouse. Oh, just come in your pajamas. Come as you are. Lord have mercy. What a mess. Now, I take anybody any way they come, but, you know, make sure you're covered, please. Ladies, cover yourself. Men, cover yourself. That's just but a bunch of pile of ugly right there. Cover it for everybody's sake, all right? But please, I'm not going to reject somebody because of the way they come in dressed. I had a lady come in one time to church, and honestly, it was indecent. I had one of our ladies go up to them and offered them a jacket and asked them to put it on so that they were covered. Unfortunately, I kept the auditorium at that time cold enough they needed it. But it was just for propriety's sake. I've had my wife on more than one occasion go help a lady that was not dressed appropriately to stand in right spots in certain ways so that she was appropriate. Not because I thought bad of somebody, but I didn't want them embarrassed. They're not taught how to dress anymore. Your church is weird. I think they're weird. They're the ones with the purple and green and yellow hair, and they look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and got stuff stuck all over their face, and they want to say, "I'm weird?" Their hair looks like they got in a fight with a weed eater and lost. And they think we're weird. Did you really look in the mirror? You know, they got tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Can you imagine what some of those tattoos are going to look like when they hit about 75 or 80? You know, the bag and the sag is going to really look bad. Now, Jesus went to where people are, but he did not act like them to reach them. Number two, Jesus led by saying, "Follow me." He led by saying, "Follow me." Now listen to this. He did not get rude and bossy. He didn't say, "Bless God, you quit your business and follow me. Get right with God." No. He said, "Fellas, I'm going somewhere. Why don't you come with me? I'll teach you what I know if you follow me." You don't see Jesus leading rough. He was successful, and he made it to where people wanted to be as successful as he was. You know, you don't have to lead with brutishness. You don't have to push your way. I try never to push anybody. You can ask my wife. We've been married 30 years. Now, I'll push her to get out the door on time. But I don't have to push. I pushed 3 kids out the door many a time, still sticking clothes on, and one carrying a pair of shoes, and one with one shoe on, one shoe off. But we left on time. Well, I left this. Too bad. So sad. You knew what time we were leaving. You know, Jesus didn't force people to follow. Oh, I love this next statement. He didn't shame them to follow him by telling them who he was positionally. Do you know who I am? You better follow me. Do you know what I am? You never find Jesus doing that. If you have to claim what your title is all the time, you're not the leader. Fellas, if you can only lead your home by saying, I'm the husband, I'm the dad, guess what? You're clamoring for something you ain't got. You might have the title, but you don't have the position right then. If I have to stand up and say, bless God, you better follow me because I'm the pastor of this church and you better... we've got troubles. Know that I lost it at that moment, all right? I have not pushed anything through. I just had a board meeting with our men tonight. I didn't push one thing through. We've never had a crossword in there. We've laughed. We've carried on. There's times I've wanted something that the men didn't think was best and say, what'd you do, preacher? I followed what they said. It came out better. That's why I got them. I'm not afraid of that. Not at all. Say, what is that? It's called leadership. You don't have to shame everybody to follow and get to what you want. Let me say this. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Here's one of the statements I use with preacher boys all the time. I don't use it a lot in here, but I'm going to use it tonight. I say it this way, be a shepherd, not a cowboy. Right. Shepherd walks out in front and leads gently. Cowboys drive, yeah, yeah, crack the whip, yeah, yeah, get over here, get. Kind of like I do my dog. Right, Miss Arlene? But the dog listens. And even Marcia's dog listens, and it doesn't listen to her. That dog's afraid of me. Now, wait a minute. You know, you can lead gently. Jesus, and by the way, I'm not for this effeminate little sissy britches Hollywood version of Jesus, by the way. Jesus didn't walk around with his hands folded and wiggle when he walked and talk very softly all the time. Can I tell you something? One, somebody that walks around like that, you're not going to follow him. You're a good, tough, hard-working, real man. You ain't going to follow somebody that wiggles when they walk. You're not going to... Brother Scott, you're so blessed. Yeah. You just watched the expression I was hoping for. That door was not close enough for him at the moment. It's right behind him. Yeah, buddy. Brother Mike, you have somebody like that trying to lead you, and you're going to put him in the next hole that you dig. Amen? Can I tell you something? And if you didn't have one, you'll dig one for it. Yeah, real fast. Because he won't dig it because it gets blisters on his fingers. Can I tell you something? The Hollywood version of Jesus is wrong. Yes. You don't attract manly men by wiggling when you walk and talking soft. Nope. But he also didn't yuck it up and tell dirty jokes either. He was a man's man. You can say what you want. There's a couple preachers that I know. I wished I could take them out hunting and just rub their face in deer blood for a while. Rip a deer gut open and make them pull it out. You say, why? Toughen them up a little bit and make them act like a man. They wiggle a little too much for me. A little too soft. There's some of those guys I'm afraid to shake their hand. I might hurt it. My wife and I were somewhere and a preacher of a very large church walked up and talked to us for about 5 minutes. And my wife walked away. We got out of earshot, which is not too far for her because of how softly she talks. And she said, I don't think I could put up with that much longer. You say, what was that? Yes. Number three. So, number one, Jesus went to where the people were but did not act like them. Number two, Jesus said, led by following. He said, follow me. He was going somewhere. It, by the way, people can't follow you if you're not going anywhere. Right. If you're standing still, you can't be followed. If you don't give clear instruction, people can't follow you. Some of you get upset because people aren't following you, but you gave them no instruction other than, follow me. Okay, where are you going? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Okay, you're not leading. Number three. Jesus helped everyone and preached to everyone so that more people could get the truth. Notice it said in verse number 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness. And he went through all those things. Do you know that Jesus tells us that the church is a hospital? Notice it says he healed them of all manner of diseases. Where do people get healed? The hospital. He was saying the church is supposed to be a hospital where sick people come and get help. Now, I'm going to say this. It was a pretty rough crowd following Jesus. Notice what that crowd was. Look at verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken in diverse diseases and torments. Okay, that word torments, that's a mental disorder. That's PTSD. That's delusional people at times. Diverse diseases and torment. Those which were possessed of devils. You've never experienced life until you've worked with somebody that's demon-possessed. It's scary. It's freaky. It's weird. And don't mess with them. And don't call me. I'll call you. And those that were a lunatic, you can just fill in the blank. And those that had palsy, those are feeble people. And he healed them. That's a pretty rough crowd, isn't it? Sounds like a Baptist church to me. You see, don't judge people the way they come in. Let Jesus change them and see what they can be.
That's good.
Right. Too many of you preconceive what somebody's going to be by the way they come in and get saved, and you don't wait long enough for God to change their life. Everybody doing okay? Yeah. They may be down and out, or they may be up and out, but either way, they're out. Well, let's get them in. Well, I just don't appreciate that person. You don't know what they did. No, but I know what God can do. I've been able to win some of my enemies back. And it's been fun. There's a person that's been coming to our church that for years despised my internal organs, criticized us and our church. They love our church now. I have a person that has done a lot of harm and tried to do a lot of harm to my wife and I and our integrity. They recently went through a heartache. I let the heartache somewhat pass, and my wife and I sent flowers from our church and from us personally and told them that we loved them. And just this week, I got a thank you note back from that person. Very sweet. Short, but sweet. Say, what is that? It's called loving the way God said to love. Say, is that easy? No. I know what my pride wanted to do. But I didn't let my pride get in the way. I did what God said do. By the way, I'm not a super Christian. It wasn't. But I truly care about that person. I'm not going to let an event of life judge the rest of that person's life based on one event. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Look what the net that Jesus caught. He cast a net. What did he catch? Sick people of all diseases, tormented people, possessed with devil people, lunatics, and palsied. And some of you would say he wasn't very successful. He turned the world upside down with them. Jesus turned these people into trophies. They were just fish in a net when he caught them, but he worked on them, healed them, and grew them to where they all became trophies. Too many of you are just angling for that one big completed trophy. How about we catch all the little ones and feed them and nurture them and bring them along till they become trophies? Even Jesus' trophies were flawed, though. Look at his disciples. I didn't say something in my sermon this morning. I preached about the Apostle Peter. Most of you would have never followed Peter as your pastor because he wasn't good enough for you. Number four, and I'll finish. You cannot reach anyone unless you try. If you sit on your blessed do-nothing, you won't reach anyone. We have to do our part. Had Jesus just sat down on a stone somewhere for 30 years, nobody would have followed him. He wouldn't have done anything. Did you ever notice Jesus was all the time moving around? He was going everywhere. He was on the go. He was busy. We have to get the gospel out. Get you a handful of tracts and give them to people. Talk to people. Give them the gospel. Can I tell you something? They're not rebellious. They just don't know what the truth is. We have to invite people to church. Thank God for Juan and Brother Lopez knocking on doors for Tuesday nights for a couple weeks, and family came to church today over it. That's exciting. I believe God's brought other people. I still don't know how Juan came to church, other than somebody got him a track or something. I'm not sure how it all worked out, but guess what? God did.
Amen.
And now God's using him to... I sent out a text to about 25 preachers this morning. I said, may the Great Commission be completed in our churches this weekend. Well, we had visitors. We had people saved this weekend. We got one getting baptized. And we had somebody who's been saved and baptized in our church that has gone out and brought people in. That's the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
Praise
God. That's what it's all about. I love it. How exciting that can be. Say, how do we do it, preacher? Reach everybody. People you work with, people that live in your neighborhood, people that you go out and knock on doors, the waitress at the table, or whoever at the gas station that you deal with, or the bank, and you name it. Hey, there are people everywhere we go. Don't be afraid. Just talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. Yeah. Hey, just talk about Him. Say, well, that might be a little weird. Invite them to Sunday school. Invite them to church. Invite somebody to go soul winning with you. Invite somebody to come to men's prayer breakfast. Well, if they wanted to go, they'd sign up. They might sign up if you asked them, men. Look at the list. Find out who's not on it. Invite them. Say, hey, I'll pick you up on the way. Everybody doing all right? That's how it works. Somebody's just waiting for a personal invitation. I'll finish with this statement. Brother Fugit used it at youth conference, and I love it. People come to church because they have a need. People stay in church because they feel needed. Well, let's go find people in need and bring them to church, and let's make them feel needed so that they can help us go reach more people that need to come because they have a need. I can look all over this room, find people who are in need. God used us to reach you. And now you feel needed here. Now let's go out and find more. It's not complete just because you're here. Let's go get somebody. Because that's what it's all about. Let's learn to reach people like Jesus did. Oh, he didn't catch trophies. He caught all kinds of fish. But he held on to them long enough to grow them into trophies. But just so you know, the trophies were flawed too. They weren't perfect. They're flawed. You're not as good as you think you are. You're a dirty, nasty, wicked, rotten, filthy scum of the earth sinner like everybody else. Just because you're cleaned up a little more than somebody else doesn't make you any better. As I've said many times recently, we're all made out of dirt. Let's quit comparing dirt. Your dirt's not better dirt than our dirt. Some dirt's a little darker than other dirt, but it doesn't matter. All dirt's dirt. That's it. Dirt is dirt. Why are we comparing our dirt with somebody else's dirt? Oh, my dirt's cleaner than your dirt.
It's dirt.
You're all dirt. So am I. Can I tell you something? Let's put it aside and let's just go out there and reach people like Jesus did. Amen. Let's let God use us to reach people His way. Watch what God can do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say preacher somewhere in that sermon tonight, something I personally needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Almost every hand in the room. Thank you. You can put your hands down. In a moment, the piano begins to play. When the piano begins to play, let's stand to our feet. When the piano plays and we stand to our feet, use this altar tonight. Maybe you can't get forward, just use your chair. But would you come and let God use you as God wants to use you?